I have to admit that in my own mind, it improved my status or my standing when I became a grandparent by having a 4-year-old granddaughter. Kind of puts me in a position that I'm kind of proud of, joining the ranks of grandparents. Now, I have to begin this morning, though, by recognizing the daughter that made it all possible, and that this daughter is turning 35 in a couple of days. And so we celebrate her birthday in the days coming up. So I want to begin by recognizing and lifting her up and saying how wonderful I think she is as well. But having a granddaughter has been kind of special. And all of us in our own minds, we kind of, in one way or another, kind of rank ourselves or position ourselves or think of ourselves as having status in one way or another. And maybe being a grandparent, and many of you great-grandparents, it's part of that. And so I was sharing a story earlier this week on how last week, you know, was Grandparents' Day on Sunday, and eventually had FaceTime with my granddaughter on the phone. You all know FaceTime, right? Some of you are going, So my wife Allison was talking with Kirsten on FaceTime, along with Taya, my granddaughter. And then I heard Taya say, "I want to talk to Big T." And I thought, well, great. So I take the phone, and I say hi to her. And she says, "Big T, Big T." And I wait in anticipation, and she says, "You can't play with my toys." That was kind of deflating in my own mind. But I have discovered recently that my status with her has dropped a little bit. The reason why? Because I am a boy. I am a boy. But I kind of went down on her status meter. The disciples deal with their own status, their own position, and their own ranking in relationship to being followers of Jesus. And as we have studied in the last weeks, they continually think of the kingdom in earthly terms. They continually think of what the Messiah means in earthly terms. And now we read how they had traveled, and amongst themselves they had argued who of the 12 was the greatest. Would have been an interesting argument to hear, wouldn't it have been? What they had to say about themselves. How they boasted themselves up. And so then we have that wonderful image and that wonderful picture where Jesus sat down and called the 12 around him. Sitting down was the official teaching position of the tradition in which Jesus and his disciples were a part. When something official was said, when something important was said, the teacher would sit, the students would gather around. And so we have that picture, we have that image that Jesus is sharing something of great importance. And he speaks to them and talks about being not the first, but being the last. Not being the greatest, but being the least. And that their ambition, that their goal, is to be one of service. To do for others, not for themselves. And that service is to be their priority. At the top of their list of who they are and of the things they are to do. And so we continue to learn and understand what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And that divine direction, direction that comes through Jesus, is often in contrast to the human understanding. And often a challenge to human understandings. And this included the traditions of which Jesus was a part, of which the people of Israel shared. The regulations that had been passed along for generations, the rules and the laws that had been emphasized and that they had followed. But now it comes through Jesus as a contrast to much of that. And Jesus speaks of what it means to serve. Throughout the New Testament tradition, there are several meanings to service. One of them is church service. We talk about going to service. Liturgy means service. Liturgy means the work of the people. And so as we come together to worship, as we come together to be part of a service, it is to serve. It is to perform a service in our worship. We are working in our service and our celebrations to all that God has done. The New Testament tradition also then emphasizes the teachings of Jesus and how we are then to serve one another, to care for one another, to reach out to one another, to build up one another. And this calling has been given to us by God. Jesus would say that we are compelled to do so. There is a power that moves us to action. The presence of God in our lives is what moves us to serve and to act in ways in which we build up and strengthen and care for one another. And so as Jesus is sitting with his disciples and as he is teaching them, he calls a child into their midst. And he says to them, "Whoever welcomes a child welcomes me." It's important for us to understand what this meant. For children held no status whatsoever. Children had no legal standing in that day. And so as Jesus sits among his disciples and as he teaches them and as he calls a child to come and be with them, he's challenging their traditions. He's calling a child to come and be amongst them, to be a part of them. And he is giving status to one who has none. He is giving an importance to one who has none. And he talks about welcoming children of having and those who would have the same importance as Jesus himself. Whoever welcomes his child welcomes me. The least of all people has the same status as Jesus. As you would welcome me, he says, you would welcome the least of us. There's a story about a teacher, and the teacher's job was to do the activities of the different students and the different grades in the school. And one of the activities he put together was a balloon stomp. Now, many of you may have participated in a balloon stomp before. You used to blow up one balloon, you tie it on a string, and you tie that string to your ankle. The idea then is to stomp on other people's balloons without yours being stomped on. Okay, so you get the idea of what takes place. And so he gave this activity to a group of junior high school students. And so they entered the game with a spirit and with great vigor. They attacked one another relentlessly. They targeted each other's balloons. Others tried to cling to the walls and kind of disappear and become kind of the wallflower, but it didn't save their balloons at all. And finally, there was one student left with a balloon intact. And of course, this was the most offensive and most aggressive, the most pushy of them all. But he was the winner. The teacher gave the same game to a group of very young students, very small children. It's believed they understood the directions that were given to them. They understood the idea that, yes, indeed, the balloon was to be stomped and broken. But they went about it a different way. Much to the surprise of the teacher, one student held his balloon for another student to stomp on it. Then the other student held her balloon for him to stomp on it. And all the children assisted and helped one another in stomping on their own balloons. And finally, they were all stomped on, and everybody cheered. Everybody won. So often, we think of our own status as having success over others and above others. Sometimes we think another's success is one less opportunity for our success. It lessens our status. There are times when our own success is at the expense of others or by the use of others. The challenge of following Jesus, of being His disciples, is to elevate others above ourselves. To seek out and to make a priority for those whom we can do things for. To seek out those who would benefit from our service. And to attach status and importance to the least of all people. The question for us is, how well do we follow Jesus? Amen.